Welcome to Aware. We are dedicated to communicating information that inspires your positive growth and change. Are you interested in a peaceful planet? Are you interested in optimal health? Are you living with purpose? Are you enjoying your life? We realize each person can make a difference, and our mission is to empower your awareness. The choices that you make in every moment shape your life, and we encourage you to realize that you have your own answers and to always listen to your own truth. We invite you to stay aware. Welcome to The Aware Show. I am Lisa Garr, and it's a joy to be here today with you, especially to share this incredibly transformational information. I love it so much. Always inspiring in terms of positive growth and change, and that's what we do with The Aware Show and have for almost 20 years now. And also, speaking of positive growth and change, if you get a chance to look at the Gaia show that I also do. If you love hearing these audio interviews here and listening to The Aware Show, you can always watch the version of The Aware Show on Gaia TV called Inspirations. And you can go to inspirationsongaia.com. And Gaia is spelled G-A-I-A, inspirationsongaia.com. A lot of incredible experiences of talking with visionary leaders. But the moment that you get to spend with these people, and that I get to, at least in the studio, you get to as well when you watch these shows, is really the art of transformation. That's all these guests, these incredible new thought leaders are speaking about, is what helps you improve the quality of your everyday existence and real, true practical solutions around that. I know that it shifts my space every single day, and it will for you as well. So check that out, inspirationsongaia.com, and you can watch their latest episodes, our season 10. So go to season 10 and watch the latest episodes. We've got Anita Morjani there and Coop Blackson. Great, great guests. Okay. So speaking about transformation and incredibly inspiring information. This book came across my desk and it says, My Surgeon Talks to Angels. And I thought, wow, that's kind of cool. I would love my surgeon to talk to angels if I had a surgeon and if I was in the position of surgery. But in that place where the bridge between science and faith comes together in an operating room is, I think, the most ideal situation. I don't know if you've ever gone through any type of medical emergency or surgery or anything, and you just, the last thing you do is you pray, oh, please, God, work through these surgeons' hands. And that is exactly what Dr. Viral Van Treekt does. She is a surgeon, and she's actually an eye doctor, and she has an incredible level of communication from her angels when she does her surgery. She's worked on three continents, had her own successful practice in Australia, worked for Doctors Without Borders and Public Health in Africa, and now she lives in the UK. We call her Dr. V because she helps, now she helps people on physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, and all health, as well as relationships and all of the well-being. So welcome to the show, Dr. V. Nice to meet you.
Hey, nice being here, Lisa.
So I
love your work.
Thank you.
I'm very happy to be part of your transformation.
Yes, yeah. Conscious Transformational Media. So yeah. You started off as an eye surgeon. And at what point did you realize that you had this level of communication coming through that wasn't just from your medical knowledge?
Okay, well, as a child, I already experienced angels. I didn't really know what to call these experiences when I felt these presences next to me, always making me feel safe and protected and loved, even though I grew up in quite of a cold environment. When I was in training already in ophthalmology, I heard nurses talking about similar things, and then I started opening the conversation. I said, wow, I'm not the only person who has these experiences in hospitals, and often I experienced it when I was walking in a room where people were dying or were soon to die, And yeah, actually, as a medical student, I already had those experiences. But talking
through
the same experiences made me think, like, wow, I'm not making this up, because I'm not the only one who feels these things.
You're not alone in this. It's interesting. One of my Gaia shows, I interviewed Raymond Moody, and he talks about the shared death experience, where people in the room who are medical practitioners will experience one thing, and then the next person that walks in the room will experience the exact same thing, and it usually is something mystical. And it's not usually spoken about that much.
No, and we don't learn about it in medical school at all. So, colleagues expect that I've written this book.
They do.
The nurses are really enthusiastic about it, but for the rest, they just don't talk about it, mainly.
Right.
Which is sad, because it can be very comforting for patients to know that if they open up and ask for help, there is a lot of invisible help available.
Invisible help. I love that word. Where did you get your go to medical school?
I was born in Belgium, so I first did my medical school there, and also I specialized there to become an eye surgeon. I spent a year in Paris, and then I did higher training at the university in South Africa. I became a vitreoretinal surgeon. So I've been studying at university for about 15 years.
Wow.
Before I got to that last degree. And then after that, I started studying things like Reiki and angel healing and things. So I'm the constant student, really.
Is there more permission to study the natural healing arts in the countries where you studied medicine, do you think, than there is in the U.S.?
Well, I'm not so sure about medicine, no. In the U.K., definitely most medical doctors just think it's all nonsense. They won't even advise you to take any vitamin C.
So similar.
But I think a lot of these choices are made on saving money in the healthcare system. And in medical school, we were not taught at all to consider nutrition as healing, which I now completely am convinced that we should rather teach people how to stay healthy rather than treat them once they're ill. And I'm talking as a medical doctor, so it's not really popular amongst us, I guess. I mean, we would be out of work if everybody was healthy the whole time. But we can't think like that. I mean, I love preventative medicine in any case, and to see people doing well and thriving in their life makes me enormously happy. So
that's the whole point, right?
Yeah. But a good change that I've seen in the UK is that my daughter goes to primary school here. They have to run a mile a day every day, and they have to meditate for 15 minutes.
Wow.
And they can only eat wholesome food at school. They cannot eat anything sweet. They cannot drink soda. They can only drink water. So that is the rules of the local schools. And I think that's great, because my daughter really now has this habit, a very healthy habit.
That's amazing. That is incredible.
I think you have to start really young to make sure your children have the right habits to maintain their health.
Especially visualization and meditation, yes, specifically.
Yeah.
Now, can you tell us a story or experiences where you did hear communication from angels during surgery?
Yes. There was a period I was working in Scotland about 5 years ago that I wasn't talking openly to the staff or anything about the fact that I was communicating with angels, but I had a complicated surgery with one patient, even though I always asked my angels to come and help me to get the best possible results for the patient. But there was a lot of disruption around me, and I clearly saw, well, this was not an angel, this was a deceased wife of the patient who was holding his hand. So I actually saw a dead person. I asked my angels to come and help me to bring this to a positive ending, and that happened. Often when we have problems during the surgery, I will definitely also call, like, for extra help. Or what I also often do is, when patients are anxious because they are awake while I operate on them, they just get local anesthetic, and I feel they're very anxious, and I ask angels to fill the whole theater with angels so that the patient can relax, and they usually relax straight away, and they even fall asleep. Because it's that positive energy that you want to bring to defeat the fear that they're feeling. Because a body in fear produces negative stress hormones. It's not helpful for recuperation or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, their blood pressure goes up. There's a lot of things that can go wrong when people are stressed. So we rather have a very relaxed, calm patient to operate on. And it's the same for the surgeon, obviously, also, and everybody in my environment. Where I work now, I'm really lucky that everybody actually is open. They've read my book. They're open to the whole principle.
Wow.
They let me choose the relaxing music in the background.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's nice to work with a team where everybody is aware of the importance of having positivity in the theater also. And
must be.
And that's why I invite angels to fill the whole room to uplift people's energy. And also I always ask them to make sure the patient gets the best possible outcome. But I've learned not to completely hand everything over, but to be very present, because I have a lot of knowledge and skill. And I have to focus. It's not like in Reiki where you can close your eyes and the energy will flow. No matter what you do. I mean, it's a combination of using my technical skills with allowing angels to...
You have to. I mean,
environment. Yeah.
You have to, because you're, I mean, as an eye surgeon, you're dealing with such a delicate material that you can't just close your eyes and pray. I mean, you have a lot to do, and your, you know, years of experience probably helps with that. How do you know, or how did you know it was an angel in the room, or what did you see, and when did you first start seeing these angels?
I was very small when I started having these experiences. I was also astral traveling a lot as a child, and flying through the universes held by my hand by an angel. I have a very clear memory of asking God to protect me when I had to. I was only 6 years old, and I had to walk through dark streets home from the music academy where my mother forced me to go for piano lessons and music lessons. But all the other kids got collected by their parents, but my parents were not there to collect me. So I had to walk home, and it was very dark. And I had a few very bad experiences. And so I started praying to God and said, please send me some protection, because I don't want to walk this street alone at night. And then this very big angel appeared next to me, very white and bright and light. And since then, that angel always walked me home.
Ah.
I mean, as a child, as long as I went to the music mm-hmm. school. And I had to walk through the dark. I can always call upon that protective energy to be around me, and it makes me just feel safe and warm and loved. That was a very that angel has been with me for a very long time, and I'm never scared in the dark anymore, because I know that I'm never alone.
Have you always felt that same? The presence, did that angel tell you, communicate to you the identity or name or anything that you became familiar with?
Not really. I'm not really good at hearing. I sense things, I feel things, I know things, I can see certain, I can have visions and see things, but no, I don't have a clear name, no. And I think I have several angels with me. They have look completely different. They have different mm-hmm. sizes, different energies. And it also changes through my life. I mean, we know that we all have a guardian angel that stays with us, and probably more than one angel that's always with us. But there's thousands of angels you can call upon. Not only the famous find me a parking angel, but just, you know, healing angels I work with the whole time. And peace angels. And I always ask my angels, like a big angel, to sit on the roof of my car so that I can drive safely.
Wow. I guess it's also a matter of belief. Yeah. It's a matter of belief, too, where you really believe and you said, a sense of knowing that these angels are always here and that you can connect with them when you need to. But in terms of historically, do you know of the schools of angels or types of angels, or have you learned anything about that as you've gone through this experience?
Yes. I studied with Doreen Virtue. We went through, I read all her books, and I studied with her in person. And it was wonderful to be at her conference that she used to organize in Hawaii with 500 angel lovers in one room.
Mm-hmm.
It was such a wonderful gathering where everybody just trusts each other and leaves their wallets unattended. And it's an amazing community of people.
Hmm.
And the vibration is so high. The more people you are together, it gets really hot when you all vibrate at a high vibration of truth and love, which is what the angels bring us. Actually, it was there that I really realized I'm not the only, well, apart from with the experience with the nurses, there I actually got some teachings on this is how you do it, this is what exists, these are the options, and I've been doing that ever since.
Now, when you had this experience with these angels, you said that you were born into a cold Flemish family. What do you mean by that? Like, explain your upbringing a little bit.
Well, it was literally cold because my parents didn't like spending money on the heating or on warm water. But they also were, and I mean, they couldn't, it's because they didn't have the money. So I forgave them for that. But it was physically cold as well, as they came from a background where they never learned to be positive towards children, never physical, there was no physical contact, there was no hugs, there was no kisses. My mother believed that you shouldn't, it's a strange thing, her belief was really strange that kids shouldn't be hurt, kids shouldn't be seen.
Mm-hmm.
So the only time that my parents spoke to me was just to yell at me to do something or to stop doing something.
Hmm.
So it was a very negative environment for a very sensitive child that I was.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was so open to the spirit world, but obviously most people are when they're born, but for me it never went away. So I was so full with love and kindness and gentleness, and then to be in that environment was very, very difficult for me.
Wow. Wow.
I mean, there's positive things that I can say about my family, too, but that's what I meant.
But did you ever...
in a full family, yeah.
Did you ever ask your angels to help you with this?
As a child, no, I didn't consider that I could influence other people. I mean, I don't think... Yeah, now I do that. If there is a conflict with another person, I ask my angel to talk to their angel and see whether we can sort something out,
mm-hmm.
so that our relationship can become better. Of course, as an adult, I would now be brave enough to have the conversation with the person.
Well, yeah.
But as a child, I had no idea because I was supposed to be quiet and not be heard and not be seen. So
mm-hmm.
I didn't speak up for myself, as any child probably wouldn't do that when you're so small and depending
mm-hmm.
on your parents. No, my angels merely helped me escape. And, like, my parents put me in bed very early, so I didn't want to sleep yet. So I asked my angels, come and get me and let's go and explore. And that's when I started astral traveling with my angels and flying further and further away from...
That would give you comfort.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, in that experience where you got the comfort from your angels, did you ever wind up, I read in your book that you wound up going to a covenant or all-girls school, and you got out of the house very, very early, right?
Yes, my mother thought I needed to be straightened.
Okay.
She put me in it was a really good school, but a very strict school. And there, unfortunately, I mean, until that time, I really loved Jesus, and my parents made me go to church, and I did that. But then when I saw the nuns in the covenant school being very hard to each other and backstabbing and saying bad things about each other, I really lost faith
mm-hmm.
As a Catholic, actually, for all that time. And yeah, that's really sad to see things like that.
Yeah, and your—I mean, your childhood was really challenging, if you, for lack of a, but you had this incredible invisible help through your whole life. Was there ever a time where you forgot about the angels and gave up? Because many of us did in our teenage years, and it wasn't accepted or cool.
Yeah, it is the same thing happened to me. So my teenage years, I didn't, until I got that wake-up call as a medical student to be in a room with a person who was dying. Actually, I volunteered to be a nurse help during my school, my holidays. And I was in a room with a person that was dying, and that I really felt this very strong presence of something invisible. And that kind of made me remember, like, I remember there's something invisible there that actually feels nurturing and positive and good and loving. And, so I started dabbling in it again until I then found other people who had the same experiences, and then I could really place it what had been happening all along.
That is amazing. And
it's been so comforting for me. I'm never lonely. I mean, I have three cats and a dog also, but
wow.
I can be on my own really well. I can have my conversations with angels. I feel like I'm never really alone.
Right.
Sometimes I forget to ask for them to travel through my day with me, and then my day doesn't go so well.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's interesting. Now, you moved out of being an eye surgeon, and now you're helping people with general overall help. Is that right? You're no longer an eye surgeon?
I'm still actually working as an eye surgeon also. I'm also, I also studied coaching, and I'm also a journey practitioner, so I also help people with emotional and spiritual healing on top of the physical healing. So I do a little bit of everything. Well, it's just two main jobs that I have, actually.
And then, well, from what I understand, you are also helping people with the source of professional burnout and overall life burnout, health burnout, and so forth. Can you talk to us a little bit about how you help people with that in workshops and so forth?
Yes. Well, first of all, I like teaching people what are the signs of an early burnout, because a lot of people have it and they don't recognize it. So, for instance, it's the people who lie awake at night worrying. They start hating their job, but they think they won't have enough money to leave their job. They don't know what to do. They also start getting very short fused, so they start having relationship problems because they're always in a bad mood and very irritable. They start underperforming at work. And get into trouble at work, and what was the other thing again? So there's several things that I recognize it in people when they get very low moods, they start circling down. So sadly enough, I see it a lot amongst doctors and nurses in my environment. And sadly enough, often doctors and nurses, they think I can fix myself, or this is all normal. I mean, nowadays people think this is all normal to be stressed and overworked, but your poor body is not really liking that. It's not good for your health to have so much stress hormones constantly. I mean, you know that your immune system goes down when you don't sleep well, and when you constantly have cortisol flowing through your body. So it has a lot of health consequences. So I teach people not only how to take very good care of their body by eating foods that energize them and detox them and boost their immune system, but also I teach them how to manage their time better, how to heal their relationships at work and at home, how to find their life purpose, and also how to connect with this higher consciousness, or for some people who want to call it angels, God, the universe, because that's that invisible helper that's out there. If you know how to work with it, it makes your life a lot easier.
Well, do you, when you go into working with people and even through surgery, do you have a practice that you get everyone enrolled in helping with this invisible help or bringing in their angels or talking to your patients about working with angels? Is it kind of a combination of both?
Well, yes. Sometimes when I see patients as a doctor, I will get messages from their angels or I will have more knowledge than what meets the eye.
Like a medical intuitive.
Very good intuition also medically. Sorry, what was your question?
Yeah, so you work like a medical intuitive, right?
Yes, yeah. And I don't particularly advertise that, but I do that during my doctor's job. And it helps me, you know, to instantly know this is a serious problem and this is less serious problem and who to really, what to really focus on. So I'm really fast at with what I do also, because I have all of that extra information that's given to me, either intuitively or from their angels talking to me and giving me that information. So that is great. But I don't really, a lot of people are not open to this, so I don't talk about it. So now and then I get patients who come and see me for angel healing. And I also have Dr. V's Angel School, where I teach people to work with angels in, to make all aspects of their life easier. And I've had a few nurses who also come and learn from me, who've read my book, and they're trying to implement this at work in the hospital.
Right. As that was my next question, is how do you teach people to implement using their spirituality with their medical practice? I mean, there's various hospitals that are based on a religion, but not around angels and communication and seeing angels. How do you get that bridged?
Well, as I said, the people at work who have read my book, they started implementing several things that they found, the information, some tools into my Sacred Doctor Angel that they're using and implementing. Some of them come to me for workshops also. But practically, you mean somebody who works as a in the medical field or for a patient, it's a bit different. Patients obviously can ask their angels to provide, like if they have to see a doctor, that they get the best possible doctor for their diagnosis or treatment, that everybody is in, you know, the best possible mood and concentration, and that everybody is healthy that will be working on them, that their surgeon is not tired.
Mm-hmm.
And you can ask for all of that. It's a little bit like a prayer that.
Okay.
And then while you are having surgery, just to ask all your angels to be present and to help for the procedure to be smooth and fast and with the best possible outcome.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people who work in the theater can do the same thing, just have that, ask their angels to make sure that they do the best possible work for this patient. Also, I can ask, bring me the patients that I can really help, and if I can't really help them, please send them to another doctor who can help them better. So when I have my private practice, that's what I ask my angels every day, to send the right patients to me who I could help.
And
I had a very successful private practice like that. And also my staff was very, very aware of it, and we all had that belief, and we all carried that higher vibration. I find it important that everybody in the team is, you know, has that connection to a higher consciousness where they, you know, not stuck in their ego and thinking about
that, definitely,
all the things in their life while they're working on a person.
That would be bad.
I can't tolerate that. You can't talk about negative things while you're busy with surgery on somebody.
Do you have your own story around burnout or what you went through?
Absolutely, yes.
Can you tell us about that?
I went through burnout twice, at least twice. First, as a medical student, when I had to be on call for a hospital 14 days and nights in a row, and then the next day I was supposed to write an exam, and I just couldn't get out of bed anymore. and I was my body completely stopped moving, refused to move. I could hardly lift a finger. And luckily, I had a very good doctor who came to my house, and he prescribed me bed rest and amino acids, and it worked. Hmm. After a week or so, I was back. But
bed rest and amino acids.
So he gave me nutrients and rest.
Hmm.
I was still in my 20s, so it was a small burnout. But the second time it was a lot worse because I was in a stressful workplace for a year at least. Had my body, my health crashed completely. My mind crashed. My emotional status was bad. Because I didn't, for a whole year, I had burnout, but nobody recognized it. I went to so many different doctors and nobody made the right diagnosis. So I kept on going until one person said to me, if you don't step out of this toxic environment, it will kill you. And that kind of hits me on the head. And I decided then, okay, I need to leave this place. And I left everything behind, my work, my house, my income. I just quit everything and moved to the other side of the planet for healing. And that's when my search started, because I knew the doctors didn't know what it was. I had to find out for myself, what is this and what can I do about it? And it took me about 10 years. I mean, I got better after maybe 2 years. I went back to work slowly. But, 10 years later, I've actually put it all together in an online program, because I feel that people need to know that the problem is very holistic. So the treatment should also be very holistic.
Okay.
And
let's talk about that.
I find that there's very little doctors that treat burnout, and they usually only treat a few aspects of it. But I've added the spiritual also to the package, because that's one part that people often forget, and it can be so beneficial for your emotional health and the spiritual health, obviously.
You've added what to the package? You've added a burnout program?
Well, I have a whole burnout program with 6 modules, and the 6th module is how to work with your higher consciousness after boosting your energy, better time management, fixing your relationships, finding your life purpose, balancing your life. So I find that there had to be an aspect of spirituality in there also. Even if you have a stressful job, if you would ask for help from your angels, your life gets a lot easier if you use the helpers that are available for you, and you don't have to get burnout again.
Yes.
So
I'm asking my angels for help right now. the website is mysurgeontalkstoangels.com, and you can find out more about the workshops and the programs and more about Dr. V's story. And if you are a practitioner, or if you want to be able to speak to your practitioner about this, there's ways where there's, you know, proof that angels and guidance exists around us all the time. And Dr. V uses this in her medical practice and also teaches workshops about it. So lots of great information. Thank you for sharing your story with us. And I love stories like this. Really, really good. Surgeon, author, coach. There's not many people that can actually say that. So thank you so much for joining us from the UK. I really appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you for asking me. I mean, I love inspiring people to lead a better life.
Yep.
It's available to everybody.
Absolutely is. All right. Thank you so much, Dr. V. And once again, if you want to find out more, you can go to her website, which is mysurgeontalkstoangels.com. That's also the name of the book. All right. I am Lisa Garr, and you're listening to The Aware Show. Thank you so much for joining me. I'll be right back.